It is Thursday, and time once again for another excursion into the wilds of strange radio, which we call, of course, Perspectives here on WFSU-FM. Thanks so much for tuning our way, and I'm Tom Flanagan. Good to have you at the other end of the radio waves and the telephone lines and the Twitter machine and all the other multiple ways we have of communicating with each other nowadays. Before we get started, a reminder, you're always invited to be part of the fun via phone and email. 414-1234 is the local number, 800-926-8809, long distance. Perspectives at WFSU.org is the email address, and our Twitter handle at WFSU Perspective. Well, for now 29 years, folks in and around Tallahassee have had an alternative holiday shopping option to the, you know, standard lineup of malls and big box retail outlets. It's called the Alternative Christmas Markets, plural. And there are always two of them. This year, on the weekend of December 5th and 6th, the first alternative Christmas market takes place at John Wesley United Methodist Church on Old St. Augustine Road. The second, on December 11th and 12th, happens at Christ Presbyterian Church on Bannerman Road. And we have some folks here to talk about the markets, what they are, how they benefit not only the givers, but also multiple recipients of the givers' generosity. So we say hi once again to Debbie Gibson, representing John Wesley United Methodist Church. And also, we will mention once again Sustainable Tallahassee, and the official award for that is tonight, right, at Four Points by Sheraton?
That's right, it is, and we're very excited. The Community Carbon Fund, of which I'm the chair, it's one of the projects of Sustainable Tallahassee, has won the Sustainable Florida Award for the best practices of a nonprofit in the state.
And at the same time, you've also got a great forum tonight featuring kind of the battling constitutional amendments regarding solar energy.
Yes.
And so we're going to have, what, Susan Glickman and also Matthew Carter going to be kind of slugging it out there, huh?
We just want people to remember they have a choice, solar choice.
Well, we'll talk about that in much greater detail later on. But right now we're going to do the alternative Christmas market thing. And again, coming up, let's see, that'll be what, next weekend? The 5th and the 6th, right?
The 5th and the 6th. That's two weekends.
Weekends. I'm trying to get ahead of myself here, Debbie, but we'll talk about the times and all that's coming up. From Christ Presbyterian Church, Pastor Danny Deeth rejoins us after a one-year hiatus. Good to see you again, Pastor.
You too, Tom. Great to be here.
All right. Well, 29 years. We said that at the outset, that this has been going on. How did this whole thing get started, Debbie?
There were a group of six of us that attended John Wesley Church. John Davis was on the board of the Heifer Project, as it was called then. It's now Heifer International. I was on the board of the Tallahassee Habitat for Humanity. And Heifer had just begun this idea of giving people a choice. You know, you can give Dad a tie, or you could give him a goat that would go to a needy person. And they then, having a breeding pair, would be able to use the milk and the meat and the hair, you know, for their families, to give them a better life. And he suggested we start something similar. So we had the two agencies, Habitat for Humanity and Heifer International. So we ended up with 10 tables for animals, you know, goats and pigs and cows and sheep and bees. I mean, it was amazing. And two little tables for Habitat. We had one for the local and one for the international. So it was an in-house thing. We invited the congregants to come and to consider making a different type of gift that year. And it was very successful. We did that for a couple of years. And then people from the community heard about it and started coming in. So we expanded it. And John was always the visionary. Every time he'd suggest we do something, I'd say, oh, I don't think so. And he'd do it anyway. And it grew and grew and grew. And now there are over 30 agencies that help people in our community in need, as well as people nationally and internationally. And we also have a card and craft shop where many of these agencies bring in tangible gifts that you could give to someone on your shopping list. They have fair trade items from third world countries as well. So it's just been a bigger better, always with the focus on avoiding the commercialization that so many of us find ourselves in, that rat race where we are looking for the perfect gift, you know. We call it a way to honor those who have enough by sharing with those in need.
Well, that's what happened at the progenitor of the whole thing, at John Wesley. But then how did Christ Presbyterian Church get involved, Danny?
I think the event started in became such a standard and so successful that we over on our side of town, we're up in the northeast side, up Thomasville Road off of Bannerman, and decided that these two locations would complement each other on different weekends and continue to serve the Tallahassee area, and it too caught on, and so it's been a nice double opportunity to serve and in two different parts of town.
Well, this is not just for the uninitiated who maybe have never patronized the alternative Christmas markets, not just getting away from the commercialization, but also expanding the reach of that giving to not just who you target as a recipient. I'm going to get this for Mom or Aunt Martha or one of the kids or whatever. But then whether it's Heifer International or any of the other groups, they also benefit. How does that work, Debbie?
The money that's donated, 100% of it, goes back to the agency with which you had targeted for your gift. The Carbon Fund, for example, started participating 3 years ago, and I think we have something that people really are interested in because for the last 3 years, we have been the second largest recipient of funds from the alternative Christmas market. It's wonderful to be able to give someone that you know that cares about the environment a tree planted in a local park. You know, so they get a card that tells them in your name a tree has been donated to a local park. And then that money comes to the Carbon Fund, to Sustainable Tallahassee. And we have planted over, 110 and 50. That's, 160 trees in the last 3 years using some of the funds that have come in from our alternative market.
And it's not just, of course, the ones that we've mentioned so far, like Heifer International and then, you know, Habitat for Humanity, Sustainable Tallahassee. But, Danny, you've got, you said, about 30 that you have, too, many of which are also at John Wesley, but you have some others that maybe are unique to Christ Presbyterian at the same time.
Well, unique to Tallahassee and local. And again, as Debbie was saying, it's the alternative gift giving idea. So let me give you just a few examples of what that looks like. For example, $2 will provide a healthy snack for hungry children through Second Harvest. $5 will provide a hungry child with a backpack for food, also through Second Harvest. $7 will buy a book for a homeless child at Big Bend Coalition. $15, a musical instrument for a child in Haiti through the Haiti Paris Twinning Project, and on and on. Solomon's Porch, In the Carpenter's Footsteps. Of course, we mentioned Heifer, Thornwell Children's Home. Leon County Humane Society, $20 will buy a vaccination for a kitten or an animal. So again, it's one of the appeals is that it's local, it's national, and it's international. And you really are having an influence around the world and in your community and making things better simply by supporting those things that most likely people in your life support anyway. So why not make a great gift to them at a time where people are really in need?
And you have representatives of the different organizations there with booths and brochures and all that. You can talk to these folks and say, well, what do you guys do?
Right.
Because I consider myself somewhat plugged into some of the things going on around town, but I always find some organization I didn't even know existed out there that's doing good things.
And I think that's one of the things I've always seen. You know, I'm an educator, and I've always seen the market as much as anything as an educational opportunity. People of goodwill come. They find out about the agencies that are serving those in our community in need. And strangely enough, the agencies learn more about each other. A lot of times when you're busy helping, you don't have time to reach out and find out what other things are happening. And I guess now we've got a lot of coordinating councils that come together, so people are more aware. But they end up learning about each other's ministries. Some of them end up getting board members from the people that have stopped to learn about the work that they're doing. So it's I think, a multi-opportunity shopping experience.
Yes, a community service shopping experience is the way I kind of look at it.
Well, and the folks that are there either volunteering for an agency or who are paid staff, you know, it's such a beautiful class of people who have come together to serve a particular group or segment of population that's in need. And so one of the advantages, like you said, is to just talk with them. And, you know, ask them, why are you doing this? Why is this so important to you that you're taking your time, you've given your life to this particular segment of the population? And it's really enlightening and inspiring to hear just from the people who are there to man the tables.
Yeah. Sometimes we have board members. Sometimes we have employees. A lot of times we actually have recipients of the services that will show up and talk about how it's impacted their life. So you get a real feel for what these agencies do and how it's making somebody's life better.
And there's an opportunity for all of us to make people's lives better right here in our own community, as well as regionally and even internationally through the upcoming alternative Christmas markets. If you're just joining us here on Perspectives, we have Debbie Gibson representing John Wesley United Methodist Church, which is where the first alternative Christmas market will be taking place on the weekend of December 5th and 6th. And from Christ Presbyterian Church out there on Bannerman Road, Pastor Danny Deeth. And they will be having theirs on December 11th and 12th. Your participation welcome as well at 414-1234 or 800-926-8809 if it's long distance from you to us here on Perspectives. Or you can drop us an email to perspectives@wfsu.org. We'll be getting to the telephones and your calls and comments and emails and all that good stuff when we roll on in just a few moments. Don't go away. Perspectives and talking about the alternative Christmas markets up and coming here in the greater Tallahassee area. First one at John Wesley United Methodist Church, which is the weekend of December 5th and 6th. Yes, we know that it's also market days, but hey, people also double up and they maybe hit the fairgrounds, do a little bit of shopping there, and then they hit John Wesley for the alternative Christmas market there. So you can get all your shopping done in one weekend. Isn't that awesome? If you want to wait till the next weekend, that's December 11th and 12th, you can go to Christ Presbyterian Church on Bannerman Road, where the alternative Christmas market continues. Sylvia is joining us here on line one. Hey, Sylvia. Hey, Sylvia. Hello. We'll try it again. Let's see if we can interconnect there. Are you on the line, Sylvia?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
I have participated for the past 7 years as a vendor and as a shopper at the Christ Presbyterian Alternative Market. And as a shopper, the first time I went, I was just blown away to have that many charities representing such good work all in one space. And I remember halfway through the experience thinking, this is the true spirit of Christmas right here. And as a vendor for Thornwell Children's Home, and they're actually in South Carolina, but they're starting a new ministry here in Tallahassee that will go into at-risk families and do counseling so that they don't need out-of-home placement. but it gives you a chance to tell the story. Someone just mentioned that on air, that it's face-to-face with people that are very passionate about these organizations that they're representing. And I have represented Thornwell Children's Home just as a volunteer, and just have loved sharing the story. And then you also, in turn, get to hear the stories of the other vendors, and you learn about organizations that are right under your nose that you didn't even know about. So I just highly recommend everyone to kick off the Christmas season with this shopping experience, and I think it will sort of set the tone for the rest of the season.
Oh, that's terrific, Sylvia. Are you going to be part of the Christ Presbyterian lineup out there on the 11th and 12th?
Yes, I will. And again, I will be representing Thornwell Children's Home and the new program that's coming into the Tallahassee area. I will be happy to share that, because that will benefit. Thornwell has always taken children from Florida and this area to their physical residential home, but now they're doing an intensive program to go in and provide counseling for children and families that are struggling, that maybe with counseling and help, the children do not need to be placed elsewhere. And so our organization strictly deals with abused and neglected children that are taking out of horrific situations, from drugs, from alcoholism, to abusive parents. And these children are just picked up and taken into this organization and educated. And that's a big educated and loved, and that's a big piece of what they do. And as I've heard the president of Thornwell say, it's education that breaks the cycle. And so it's just a wonderful ministry, and so are all of the other ones, too. That it's just so uplifting to just be exposed to all these charities at one time.
Well, thank you so much for the call, for the endorsement, and all the best as the Thornwell operation gears up here in Tallahassee. Thanks for calling, Sylvia.
Thank you so much.
You know, that's Sylvia was talking something that kind of resonated with me, that we talk so much about the failings of whether it's governmental agencies or other organizations when it comes to meeting social needs and the unmet needs of the community, and how here is a chance for everyone who cares about whatever to make a tangible difference. Instead of railing against the darkness, it's an opportunity to light that little candle somewhere, whether you care about kids or puppies and kittens or heifers or whatever.
Yeah, that's right. And as we know, one of the ways you transfer and teach faith from one generation to another is that you teach the importance of it by your practice. And this is one way, whether you're a person of faith or not, to show what's important to you, and that's caring for other people. And you can show your children, you can show your friends, you can show your family and community what's important and how to care for others. It's just a great way that's set up. All you do is show up. I always wind up spending more money than I mean to, because there are so many great organizations that do so much good. And like you said, railing against the darkness, and we've been overwhelmed lately by the horror and the terror. And you think, how do you fight that? How can we day-to-day, normal, non-governmental, non-military, whatever, citizens do that. And I'm convinced it's by worldwide, every day, billions and billions of acts of love and service for one another. And this is what this market and opportunities are set up to do, to show others that we can be more than just about ourselves, to show others that there are bigger things out there that we can give ourselves to, and this is why these are set up.
And to rebuild maybe even some, should we say, if not failed, certainly some marginal relationships we have with family members, friends, or whatever. I just wanted to do this for you.
Mm-hmm. It's real interesting when we have people that come to the market that are new, excuse me, that have never been there before. Initially, I think it's a little confusing. They're expecting to come in and see loaves of bread and wreaths and you know, hand-knit items or whatever you associate with a church market. And instead, what they see are these booths with information about services being provided for people in need. So they'll wander through and they'll kind of, okay, try to figure it out. And it's really very gratifying. I usually sit at the table where people check out during the first day. And often the second day, they'll be back and they'll say, you know, I went home and I thought about these other people that I can honor this way. Once they get into the concept of an alternative gift, you realize that it's a way that you really can remember people in a way that really honors them. And I love that. I love to see people sort of buy into the whole idea. You know, we started this because back in the 80s, you know, it seemed like there was just this emphasis on materialism and Christmas didn't have the kind of spirit that many of us had hoped we would share with our families. And we, you know, when you think about it, when you look at what Jesus did while he was here, he wasn't out gathering things, you know. He was out helping people. So we try to honor his birth by continuing the work that he did while he was here.
We have an email here from Susan. She wanted to know if there is a website for e-shopping the alternative Christmas markets. We had mentioned at the outset there's really it's so good just to get out and to see what's available and the people who are involved with all of these worthy causes and great outreaches within the community and talk to them a little bit and say, hey, what do you guys do anyway? But is there a way that people can use the alternative to the alternative Christmas market of actually going online?
Yes, the John Wesley Alternative Market has a website. It's not quite e-shopping. What we allow you to do on the website, we have a list of the agencies that are there. We have links to their website so you can familiarize yourself with their work. And then we have a PDF of a shopping list. So you can download the shopping list, fill it out, and mail it to the church, and we will go ahead and fix the cards, and at our market, you end up getting a card that someone has used beautiful calligraphy to complete that is the gift that you give to your recipient. So you can do it all without ever showing up at the market. You just download the shopping list, follow the instructions that we have on the website. I wish I could tell you the website name that I had picked out from GoDaddy because it's much simpler than the one that I've got here. But I can say if you type in Alternative Christmas Market in Tallahassee, the first two hits you get on Google are our website and Danny's website. So you can see what's happening at both John Wesley and at Christ Presbyterian without going to the site's google.com.site. You know, it's just way too long. But I think if you've never been to the market, you could actually familiarize yourself with the market, how it works, by just looking at our websites.
Just
and
checking
going
it out.
From there.
Yeah, and, right. And Danny, what's the procedure too? Because I think people come in, I just write a check for the organization, hand that to them, but it doesn't work that way.
No, that's right. You'll see them all set up in the spaces where the event's happening, and you go to the agencies, you look around, and at each booth, they have a list of things that they would like you to help with. Certainly, you know, any general donations will be taken, and that's fine. But each organization has, again, a list of things that you can purchase. As I mentioned before, you know, $2 will get you this in that agency, or $7 will get you that, or more so. And then – so you kind of have a price sheet for each agency that you go to, and then when you're done and ready to go, you head to the checkout, and they will tally all that up for you, and then you pay once at the end of your shopping adventure there.
Okay, and well, we're not necessarily. Are we doing major credit cards here, or checks, or how does that work?
Yeah, we do credit cards,
and we do not because the credit card companies charge a fee, and we say to our vendors that we give 100% of the fees back. So we like them to bring cash or check.
Okay. Just wanted to do that because I think there are some – in fact, the last year when I was there, there was a lady right next to me and she – I was at John Wesley and she whipped out her Amex and said, no, we wish we could, but we don't do that. Yeah. So she went home, got her checkbook, took care of it.
But at Christ Presbyterian, they're a little more accommodating. They're willing to take your money any way you've got it.
But also 100% goes back to the agencies also.
While we're talking about this, now we at the very beginning of the program, we said 29 years has been going on, which I'm sure it doesn't seem like that long. Are we getting to a point now where we're kind of looking, okay, where do we go from here? It has been a great success. I think what? You're going to hit a major milestone this year, right?
We are. We're so excited. The first year we started, I think we raised about $1,800. It is very typical now for us to raise anywhere from $40,000 to $45,000, $46,000, $47,000. In 28 years, we raised $996,000. We'll, if we have a typical market, we will pass $1 million that we have raised for agencies that are working with the poor.
It's fantastic.
And we are so excited. And having done this for 29 years, I now have gray hair. My daughter now has a child and she's no longer a child. So John Wesley is going to be putting a lid on it. They're going to say we've done our bit and we are looking and hoping that there may be others out there. We've been in conversation with Lisa and Danny out at Christ about how to continue this without the participation of John Wesley taking that, you know, that whole load that first weekend, because we think it's important that the community have an opportunity to celebrate in a way that is meaningful for their family.
When you look at the number of faith communities we have here in this town, and many of which are searching, they are looking for additional outreaches beyond what they usually do, and their involvement in the greater community to increase that impact. This sounds custom tailor made for other churches to come in and say, "Hey, okay, we'll take it," or maybe a movable feast, if you will, going from church to church to church on a rotating basis. So it doesn't become an onerous thing. And I'm not saying it was a burden, certainly. It was a wonderful labor of love.
It was still a labor of love. That's right. But
okay. Say I'm a pastor, or, a volunteer with a church here in town, or maybe even a secular organization. Who the heck knows? And boy, that sounds like something we could do, or at least just how do we connect? How do we get this together?
Well, I would say you can contact me at the church, and we will be having groups and gatherings after Christmas, first of the year, through the spring, to talk about really the best way for the gift market, the Christmas market, to grow, to be in the best place, include as many people and get as many people as possible. Like we said, we love this as a part of what Christ Presbyterian Church does, but we're not exactly centrally located in Tallahassee, and so it may be that it needs to be moved and it needs to be retooled, and we need to bring in some fresh leadership and some great creative thought. All of that is to ensure that the event not only survives but thrives, and this could be an exciting new time where the community takes hold and really, really grows this into to make sure that it continues to be something special for the agencies and the community.
Yeah, okay. So I don't think there's any desire on the part of the participating agencies and other nonprofit organizations to say, oh, okay, that's it. we want to give this up.
Well, and I think you hit on something when you said every time you go to the market, there's a new agency you didn't even realize existed. For a lot of the agencies that have worked with us over the years, the market has been one of the ways that they let the community know that they were there and serving. There's certainly always something new. This year we've got two new agencies that are joining us. I believe one of them has been with Christ for a while, but the Kiwanis Club will be coming to our market for the first time this year. They are in a very focused effort to end tetanus.
Neonatal tetanus
in the world. It's a very painful disease, and they are trying to eradicate it through vaccinations. So they will be there pushing that program. And we also have a new agency that has just actually incorporated, and it's a group of people from John Wesley Church who are now with a group that's called First now that I've said that, I need to go back. It is an organization that is working to get medications for people in Africa. It's called the Health First African Missions, and they're focusing on hypertension and diabetes, two diseases for which there is often not medication. So the focus of this group is actually to purchase medications to get to clinics so that people will have better health. So it's wonderful that many people have come. I mean, the first time to Mayan Garden Project showed up, I thought, who are these people and what are they doing? And now they are such an integral part of our community, you know. But I heard about them first at the Alternative Christmas Market. The same with organizations like Treats, which provides spay and neuter support for poor people who want to have pets. Again, I didn't know they existed, but there they were. And so even those of us that are responsible for the market are learning more and more each year about the types of services there are in the community.
And one of the neat things that that offers is the opportunity to build a relationship with a particular local agency and group. For example, if say you're a parent and you give your, I don't know, middle school daughter, of which I have one.
We'll continue that thought in just a moment.
There. I'll hold it.
Talking to Pastor Danny Deeth of Christ Presbyterian Church out on Bannerman Road and representing John Wesley United Methodist Church, Debbie Gibson here. The Alternative Christmas Market's what we're talking about this morning right here on Perspectives. Yes, never too early to start thinking of holiday shopping. When did we go from the traditional, right after Thanksgiving, that's when you go in and all of the stores have redone and you've got all of the holiday decorations up there and that. And now we're starting like, you know, at the end of August and I'm seeing Christmas decorations up. I go, guys, really?
Yeah. Too much money to be made.
Yeah, there's got to be. But amidst all of the fun and frivolity of the holidays, it's also a good time to kind of remember what the original purpose was really kind of all about. And every culture, it's not just exclusive to the Christian faith tradition, but I think every community of faith has some kind of analog to the giving of gifts as a stand-in for something more transcendent. Mm-hmm. And that's something we all kind of have in common here too. Mm-hmm. So if you put all that together, that is the rationale behind the Alternative Christmas Markets, which if you're just joining us on Perspectives, we're talking about here with Pastor Danny Deeth of Christ Presbyterian Church out on Bannerman Road and John Wesley United Methodist Church's Debbie Gibson. And Pastor Danny, you were talking about the what particularly young people getting involved. And lucky you, you have a daughter of a certain age.
I have two wonderful daughters, one in middle school, one elementary school. But as you know, again, to show and to teach them that it's important to care for others, a great thing to do is to, again, as we've been saying, find out something they're interested in that's at the gift market, make a purchase, you know, in their name for that. But especially if it's a local agency, you have the opportunity then to follow up first of the year. You know, oh, we gave you this you know, you receive this gift and now we can go to the Leon County Animal Shelter and volunteer. And you can build relationship with these agencies. So it's not just a random out of the blue gift. It's something you can follow up on and continue to help and be in a relationship with those agencies. I know it's not just local. You have Solomon's Porch in Guatemala. They're there every year and many churches in town take trips there, mission trips, and you can join on to one of those. In the Carpenter's Footsteps has national, international trips, and they too, they're based in town, and so you could buy a gift for them through them, and then join them on one of their trips, and so it's a way. So it's not just an isolated event. You say, oh well, that's nice. It could really be the start of a lifelong connection and connectedness with again something that you care very much about.
And so many of these items, as you mentioned before, Debbie, are not pricey at all, a buck or two, and you can get something from one of these organizations in someone else's name.
We encourage people to represent their ministry in tangible items, and sometimes that's hard to do. But we ask them to come up with an item that would be worth less than $5. So we want to be able to let everybody participate in the market. I can't tell you how many times I've seen parents bring their children in and they will actually shop for gifts for their teachers. We have had teachers that have come in to shop because they receive gifts and they thought it was such a wonderful idea. So it's one of those things that spreads as people receive the gifts. They then want to come find out what the market is all about. And I think there's always something in either of our markets that would appeal to anyone on your list.
Tremendous variety.
Yeah. We have the Lighthouse of the Big Bend, which serves visually impaired people. We have Kindred Spirits, which works with people on death row. We have Mothers in Crisis, which does counseling for women who are struggling with addictions. The Neighborhood Medical Center, all of us are worried about health care and where it comes from, and they serve those that are not able to get insurance. We've got all these organizations that serve internationally. The Carbon Fund, how am I forgetting that, for people that are concerned about the environment. You know, there are ways that you can honor anybody through the mix of organizations that we have.
And I love it because no one's going to return it. That's the great thing. You know, right. It's not going to wind up, you know, on the side of the curb somewhere because, well, we didn't need this, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It's always the right size, always the
right
color.
That's right.
Right. And you don't send anything to the landfill because of it.
That's right.
Let me mention to you, Tom, that 10,000 Villages is such a great agency that serves so many in so many places. Closed down shop here in Tallahassee, but they'll be at the gift market at Christ.
They're not going to be at John Wesley, okay. But we will have items from Serve,
which is another fair trade
organization.
And great organization. So, and those are more tangible goods made by artisans around the world, and you're supporting them. And so, if you have that need to have a something, you know, to hold and to put in a package, 10,000 Villages, and again, both markets offer that opportunity as well.
Yeah, and so many of these are handcrafted
and
individually produced, and you cannot find things like this anywhere else. That's what I love.
Well, it's not just things from agencies like that. I know last year Lutheran Social Services started putting up these beautiful origami ornaments that had been made by one of their supporters. The shelter often will bring note cards that have been made from art that has been done by people that are staying at the shelter. They're T-shirts that support the agencies.
Calendars.
Calendars from the Return Peace Corps volunteers always. And some the Damayan people have some beautiful angels made from okra and I don't know what else. But, you know.
Is it fried? It is the South.
That is true, yes.
It is, but they have spray painted it white. We had a couple of years ago, the literacy volunteers had made these absolutely breathtaking wreaths. They were made from sheets of Braille that had come from the Harry Potter series. They were getting rid of the books. And someone said, you know, we could turn that into something. Well, they really were quite striking. So you never know what you're going to find at a market that would appeal to you that's tangible as well as intangible.
Right.
So
yeah. I'm thinking of the impact on the giver. I hate to be self-centered here, but when we look at and full disclosure, my wife works at one of the local malls, and I wait for her to get off work so I can help escort her out to the car because she's got a little mobility issue. And I see the look of who was the author who said, we live lives of quiet desperation. Yeah, but I see this look in people's eyes around the holidays, and sometimes it's sad. It is because, oh, what am I going to get for this person or that person? And they agonize over these decisions. And what if they don't like it? And what if this? And what if that? And this is just such a wonderful option to have because it'll never be returned. It'll always be appreciated. And you're doing so much good with your gift.
Yeah. Yeah. We consider them gifts that bless the giver, bless the recipient, and bless the community. You know, you can't get any better than that.
Yeah, no doubt that when we give, it changes who we are. And we all, for the people that we love and care about, want to give them something that they'll appreciate. And we want that feeling that they're excited and they've received something that means something to them. And that's what these markets are all about. And giving these, whether they really like – even if they don't like it, they're not going to say that they don't because it's going to a good cause and they'll look bad. So you can't lose with this. It's win-win across the board.
Yeah, and find out what the person likes. Everyone has
Absolutely.
A favorite cause or something
Absolutely.
That someone cares about. And if maybe you had that little blow-up with mom – a couple of weeks ago and you're hesitant about reestablishing the connection, this would be a really good pretense. Hey, Mom, I'm going to go to one of these alternative Christmas markets. So you don't need to know what it is, but I want to find out what you care about.
Right.
And then use that as the reestablishment point for that relationship. I've been hanging around my wife and daughter for too long. I think that's one of the things that probably we will use as a launching point for reestablishing that this year. Anyway, let's talk a little bit more if folks are just joining us right now. And by the way, if you've had an experience with the alternative Christmas markets and the 29 years this has been going on and you have any questions about how it operates, give us a ring at 414-1234 or 800-926-8809 or perspectives at WFSU.org is the email address. Debbie Gibson, again, coming up for the John Wesley United Methodist Church the weekend of the 5th and the 6th, right?
That's right. We will be there all day Saturday, so from 9 until 4 o'clock. And then on Sunday, we come back, we run, grab something to eat, and from 1 until 4, we open once again so that people can come back and shop a second time if they need to.
Mm-hmm. Or they go and they peruse everything on Saturday and then come back and buy on Sunday. I see a lot of that, too.
Yeah, right. That's true. People will often pick up a shopping list or one of the price lists from an agency. They'll take it home because it can get overwhelming if you've never been there before, and they'll make out their list trying to make sure they've matched that gift to their recipient.
And Pastor Danny Deeth, you got a kind of different setup up there at Christ Presbyterian, right?
Yeah, we do. It's in our sanctuary, and so ours doesn't run over the Sunday. We start Friday night, 6 to 9, and then we'll be open the next morning, Saturday morning from 9, and we're extending our hours a little bit more to 2 o'clock in the afternoon to give folks a little bit more time to come. Bloodmobile will be there also. Again, just a great lot of varieties of agencies there.
Okay, and that is Friday and Saturday, December 11th
and 12th.
Yeah, right. Out there on Bannerman Road. If you are interested in perusing the many, many organizations, the agencies, the nonprofit, community-based service groups that take part in the alternative Christmas markets year after year, you can also, Debbie, go online. You have a list. Of all the participants?
We
here?
Have a list of all the participants. We also have every one of their shopping lists posted, as well as a completed shopping list and a blank one so that you could do it yourself. You can walk through the market on the pages of our website to know exactly how it runs.
Okay. The other thing that I think is just so incredibly wonderful about this entire thing is the networking. And Sylvia talked about this when she called on behalf of Thornwell Children's Home a little bit ago, that goes on amongst the many participants as they find out about themselves. And I think there have been some successful community coalitions that have come about as a result of the networking that takes place during alternative Christmas markets. When you find out, hey, we do a little bit of what you guys are doing. Is there any way we can pull our resources and expand that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's also been a way for the Carbon Fund to let people know that we're available to help. I don't want to talk too long about what we do, but people who give us money through either carbon offsets or donations, we take that money and then we invest it in nonprofits by doing energy upgrades. So they end up spending less money on utilities. It gives them more money for programming. We, you know, use local contractors so that money stays in the community. And we've lowered the community's carbon footprint. Well, it's been really difficult for us to get people to come and let us give them money. So we use the market as a way to wander around and say, do you have an old building? Would you like us to come in and try to help you work? So it works in a lot of ways. I think for these agencies to be together is a beneficial thing for them and for the community.
Right.
That doesn't happen every day where you have someone coming and say, please, can we essentially spend money on you?
Right. But we love doing it.
Back to the actual fact of the season, and it has been, I guess, kind of contentious to follow some of the developments that you hear, whether it's about, I don't know, secular coffee cups or anything else. Pastor Danny Deeth, this is right up your alley here. How does this perfectly encapsulate, regardless of where you're coming from with your own religious convictions, just sing the song of the season to your way of thinking?
Yeah. Well, it's what it's about. And for us, it's based on a Christian season. It's based on the event of Christ being born. But like you said, inherent in most world religions and just people in general, whether they're people of faith or not, is the desire to care for other people. I would call that the God in them, but they may not, and that's okay. You know, in years past, we've had a community Thanksgiving service that's been interfaith to kind of take some of these commonalities over different religions and see what we have in common and work together. And those services have been great. And this is one of those opportunities as well, because not only, you know, we are giving thanks to others by helping others. And so there's thankfulness as a part of it. There's generosity as a part of it. And at the root of it is service and caring for others. And again, most if not all world religions support caring for those in need. And again, this transcends whatever faith group we are a part of, if you have it at all, to say, you know, we have a chance to help others or somebody in need or animals or do this or that around the world, nationally, in our city. And it really is at the core of the season. Christ is born for Christians, and the wise men came and presented their gifts to him in honor of him. And so for the Christians, this is a great way to give thanks for the birth of Christ by giving gifts to others. And we give gifts to Christ by caring for others. And that's what our lives really are all about.
At John Wesley, we often see Jewish neighbors that come in. I think Danny's right. The spirit of giving, that compassion and caring for others, crosses faith traditions. And we have a lot of shoppers that come annually who aren't Christian but that come to the market because we offer a place for them to see all the agencies or many of the agencies that are working in our community, and they appreciate that.
It's the human thing to do, secular or otherwise. Denise joins us here on Perspectives. Hi, Denise.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to say that my first experience with the alternative Christmas market was about 18, 20 years ago when I received a card that said that a dress was donated in my name to a little girl. And I had never received such a gift, but it was the best Christmas gift that I had ever received. And it truly touched my heart. And I have participated since then in the Alternative Christmas Market. I think that it is a great experience, really, for the entire family, and especially, too, a great opportunity for children to experience the true spirit of giving and sharing.
Aw, Denise, that is so nice. Well, thank you for giving and sharing that testimony here. You got some smiling folks here.
Let me say that card that I received came from Debbie.
Aw, Denise, thank you so much for joining us today. And Debbie Gibson, thank you. We will see you at John Wesley. And Pastor Danny Deeth will see you out of Christ Presbyterian Church for those 2 weekends for the Alternative Christmas Market. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thank you, Tom.
Perspective is produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Taylor Cox and Lydell Rawls doing the technical stuff today. I'm Tom Flanagan. Next week, we're taking both Thursday and Friday off for Thanksgiving. On Thursday, December 3rd, we return with a focus on the proposed Tallahassee Community School. We will catch you then, right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcasts. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.